Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of things going on, and I got my eye to the sky,
And I think basically that may tell something of, you know, what we're going through right now.
Well, as long as you have your feet on the ground.
You know,
feet on the ground?
Feet on the ground.
Yeah, he wanted to talk about this article about the dimensional shift tonight. We've been talking about this for quite some time, George.
Yeah, I know.
About the transition being made, and there's a couple of interesting aspects that's been happening this weekend. In this, 75 million people are being affected by this hurricane.
Yes.
And, again, almost that many were affected by that earthquake last Tuesday. And the effects of this are really, really creating this unity consciousness, if you will. And I think we're seeing it, George. I think I'm beginning to understand how this dimensional shift is going to take place. It's bringing us to that higher vibrational level, through basically fear.
How can fear bring you to a higher vibrational level? I don't see that.
Well, it does. It does. I mean, when you become afraid of something, or you become confused or very, very afraid, your adrenaline kicks in and you go into that higher level of flight mode. All right. But at the same time,
George?
We're dealing with this dimensional transformation that is upon us in the next 60 days or so.
Let's stop for a minute and take a look in the Mayan calendar where we are right now. We are in the fifth night.
Yeah.
Now, if you go back in 2008,
Are we in the universal or the galactic period?
Yes, but we covered the experiences just like... in 2008 was a continuous or a replay of what happened between 1930 and 1950. So at that time also, it was a polarity consciousness that we focused in on. But it was a very bad time in our government. In fact, we were watching, the fall of the dollar and what was going on with the market. And basically it equaled to some of the events that happened in 1930 when the market went belly up, and also with World War II. So what happened is out of the fifth night comes the sixth day, and that was the 1950s and the 1960s. The We Are Generation, the hippie, the spiritualist who asked why not, and even Martin Luther King, because, that's what we're experiencing right now. But understand, it was at that time our civil rights were questioned, and the flower children was born. So what we're experiencing right now in this 18-day cycle is that fifth night, a rejuvenation of those ideas, we had when we were the radical hippies, and the floration of what we focus in on now will be followed to the next sixth day, which is 18 days away from the day that we're in. So this is how fast things are going right now. And, if you look back at what was going on in your life in 2008, and you were experiencing like a 20-year jump in 1 year. And, Leo, I remember you and your book and, the advancements you made, with your media, your work on the radio and TV. So, you take a look at what happened. A lot of things happened in that 1 year's time. and a lot of your world around you grew and changed. Lila, I'm saying the same thing to you, my dear, but it was a change. It was a time where we shifted gears into something that was new,
mm-hmm.
and we went for it. We went with it. So what we have now, or what we've experienced, was, you know, the benefit of, you know, what we laid in 2008. And that's just part of the grace, if you'd want to call, that we're experiencing now. And, you know, I take a look now at what is going on in the world, and I use that civil rights focus in right now with Martin Luther King and the statues and so forth as a focus point that we had in 2008 dealing with civil rights and so forth, which was something that was started back in the 1950s and the 60s, where the time span was 19.7 years or 20 years. So it's really a generation jump from 20 years to 1 year, and now it's jumping to 18 days. That is remarkable, but that is what we're experiencing right now. Whatever you focused in on in 2008, I mean, I'm talking for anybody who's listening here. If you take a look at the accomplishments or what came out of that focus at that time, you will be expecting to experience, you know, the final extent of your focus. So we are in some very, very interesting times, and we're not even getting into, you know, what's coming in the next month from now. But this basically is what we're to experience in the evolution that is laid down by Kalaman's work. I'm sorry, I'm just rambling on here, but, you know, I'm very excited. And, you know, just like this hurricane or this earthquake that hit the eastern seaboard last week, we were experiencing in upstate New York, we experienced two earthquakes. On the same day, there was one 2.2 on the Richter scale, just west of where I am, and then there was another one the following day, which was 3.2 on the Richter scale. But you don't hear much of that in the media and so forth. But, you know,
I didn't hear anything about it at all.
Now, right, this whole fault line, Lila, is very active, and this goes right to the Mississippi River. And,
really?
You know, we also had another earthquake in Colorado the same day. And
yeah, I knew
to be
about
truthful,
that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the West Coast right now, and, you know, things about to just blow their top.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, in just looking at cycles and, you know, what's happening out there, I could see it. You know, it's something that I feel, and that's all I could say. But understanding that Mother Earth is changing. And it just so happens that, you know, I'm not worried about the other problems we have. It's Mother Nature that we have to deal with. And it's Mother Nature also that's going to have to help us deal with this radiation exposure we are experiencing now, you know, throughout the whole world. And it is because of these meltdowns that's going on in Japan. You know, you can't forget about this stuff, but this is stuff that is happening right now, and, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, we're living like nothing's happened, drinking our coffee and our Twinkies in the morning. But, you know, people don't realize that in the Gulf of Mexico, there's another oil well out there leaking. I don't think it's as much as that leak we had last year, but we got another leak. So, you know, that's another thing to add to the fire, if you'd want to call it that. And I still think we need some intervention. And
George,
if it was all flooded intervention,
well,
that would be good, too. I don't care.
Aaron, that was leaking. The problem is they can't fix this one.
Yeah, I know. Well,
did you read about it?
There's a reason for everything, Lila, and I do believe that we can fix it. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
Oh,
but,
really?
You know, it's just fixing it instead of playing games.
Well, they don't seem to have the will to fix it. Let me put it that way. There's also an oil leak in the north.
What are you going to do? Some believe that they're trying to rid the world of the undesirable, so they'll have a much truer stock. bloodstock, I guess. I don't know what they call that, but you know, people have been storing up for years for these times, and you know, I do believe that they're called the end times. We're in the end times, but I think the ending is much different than you know, than what we're thinking will happen.
Well, what do you think will happen?
Well, let me explain something. Let me take something from Drumbelow here. A strange phenomenon begins at this stage. Right, this stage is a weird one. 5 to 6 hours before the dimensional shift occurs. Okay, this phase is a weird one from a human point of view. The Native American in the tribe I was first born to when I arrived on Earth are told to enter the pueblo, pull the curtains, do not look outside, and pray. To look outside would only cause fear, which is the last thing you need. A strange phenomenon begins at this stage. The two dimensions, which is the third and fourth dimension, begin to overlap. You may be sitting in your room when suddenly something appears out of nowhere that will not be explainable to your mind. It will be a fourth dimensional object that will not fit into your understanding of reality. You will see colors that you will never have seen before in your life. These colors will be exceedingly bright, and they'll seem to have their own light source. The color will seem to be emitted rather than reflected, and they have a shape your mind will not be able to explain. These objects will be the strangest things you have ever seen. It is okay. It is a natural phenomenon. My strong suggestion to you is do not touch one of these objects. If you do, it will instantly pull you into the fourth dimension as an accelerated rate. It would be easiest and best if you avoid moving that fast. If it is unavoidable, then it is the will of God. And synthetic objects and Lucifer reality, thought forms, the other phenomenon that almost certainly will occur has to do with the nature of the reality that Lucifer created and that we live within. The original reality is created in such a way that everything is in divine order and everything with everything else. But in Lucifer's reality, technology has made synthetic materials. These materials, which are not found in nature, will not be able to pass into the fourth dimension. They will return into the elements they were created from. It is possible to send a synthetic material into the next dimension, but it requires a special energy field to keep it intact. And further, these synthetic materials have a spectrum of stability. Some of them, like glass, are not far removed from nature. Glass is just melted sand. But other materials are far removed, thus far more unstable, such as our modern plastics. This means that some synthetic objects, depending on their stability, will melt or disintegrate quicker than others during the 5 to 6 hour period. Now, that 5 to 6 hour period is what will happen when we shift. Exactly. This means that some synthetic object, depending on its build, will melt or disintegrate quicker than others during this 5 or 6 hour period. Your car is made of plastics and other highly unstable materials, so it will definitely be unserviceable. Even your house is probably made of many unstable materials and will, for the most part, break down and partly disintegrate. And most modern homes will be unsafe during this phase. Knowing that this time would come, and what would happen when it did, the Taos Pueblo, long ago made it illegal to use modern building materials inside their pueblo. And the Taos people do make summer homes of this synthetic material away from the pueblo. But they know that when the day of purification comes, they are to head for their ancient homes on the pueblo. And sometimes they put windows in their pueblo buildings, but because of the openings, didn't have glass before. If they lose a window, it won't be a big loss. Other than that, the pueblo is made only of mud, straw, sand, stones, and trees, and they will not experience. So, I mean, it explains the entire, what's going to happen here at this time. And I was wondering about this, George. I mean, I was trying to wonder what this transition is going to be like, but there it is. It explains that it comes within a 5 to 6 hour period
Well,
right?
let's explain to our audience here. The paper, what you're referring to, is a letter that Drumble and McKesidek gave on August the 10th, 2010. And he was talking about dimensional shift. And it's called the Dimensional Shift, Drumble and McKesidek. If you go on the internet, you'll be able to get this. And this was sent to me a few days ago, but I believe I had this transcript a couple of years back when he gave it. But I think he explains a lot of Leo what you were talking about, you know, in detail. For us, I think we've talked about what's happening with these magnetic shifts and the poles changing, is that part of what the people from the past experienced was when the Earth stopped, and actually it was like a hard drive in a computer. We've talked about this. That really has been erased. So the memories or whatever memories there were there, they would be lost, and you would have to start over again. Now, he's also talking about, you know, the different properties like glass windows basically will not be affected by this change because it will revert to sand, which is natural. When you're dealing with things that are synthetic, and let's say, I was just thinking of a flagpole that's made out of stainless steel. Stainless steel is a very hard metal, but what you have is you have different types of metals that were mixed together in the foundry, you know, to produce the stainless steel. And what would happen is that the consciousness that went into this flagpole is no longer being held together by any conscious energy form or vibration. So what it does, it just disintegrates. And it disintegrates back into its natural form, physical form, three-dimensional form, not synthetic.
He says that synthetic objects are really just thoughts created by and through the Luciferian experiment. They don't exist in the original reality.
Let me talk about that if I can for a minute. You're right. And, you know, understanding this Luciferian theory is that, you know, we are all sentinel beings having a human experience, not a human having a spiritual experience. And, you know, for us, in this dimensional of consciousness, what we've had to do is come in and lock ourselves into a three-dimensional reality. And with that is the physical properties that make us up to what we are. We know that we're more than a body, we're a spirit, we're a soul, we're energy. But what we've done is that by agreeing to experience this dimensional reality, we have to. We are bound by the physical laws of physics in this property. So in the Luciferian rebellion, it was basically Lucifer went out and created his own world. And that basically is what the force was. It wasn't something that was natural that God produced. It was something that was artificial.
But
so when I say artificial, it's like a machine and so forth. It is, it is a tree cutter, if you'd want to call it that. But instead of a machine, you know, it's just a simple act. But I don't want to get lost here. But in this type of understanding,
held in place by a third dimensional human grid around the planet, all these thoughts. And it says, that's the consciousness grid of all people on this level. It is an agreed reality held in place by the grid. So if someone dies or creates an object, the object remains. But if the grid that holds these objects were to break down, the object would turn into material it came from, leaving no trace. And this grid will break down before or during the shift. So obviously, he says, the people who are already going crazy because of the collapse of the geomagnetic field will become much worse when they see the Luciferian reality collapsing and when objects begin to disappear or disintegrate. The good side is that it lasts for less than 6 hours. And according to Edgar Cayce and other psychics, there have been many extremely advanced civilizations here on Earth before, but there is little or no trace of them.
Right.
And this is because of what we have just described. Their synthetic materials did not make it through the last dimensional shift 13,000 years ago or through other prior shifts. And he says God cleans up the original reality environment every time there is a dimensional shift. If an advanced ET culture comes here and wants to make a structure like a pyramid, or for example, lasts for tens of thousands of years, they don't make it out of a sophisticated metal like stainless steel. They use natural materials from the planet that are very hard and durable. This way, they know that the pyramid will last through all these natural dimensional shifts, changes that every planet experiences. It's not a Stone Age limitation. It's just an intelligent thing to do. And he says that's all. And furthermore, these advanced ET cultures are also very careful not to leave any trace of themselves. They either take their bodies with them or vaporize them in order not to break the galactic law of non-interference and planetary shifts. Every person who has ever lived on Earth has already experienced the shift. They had to in order to get here on Earth. It's just a cosmic fact that unless we came from close by, wherever we came from before we came to Earth, we had to have passed through the void to get here. So we had to change dimensions. And on the day you were born on Earth as a baby, you experienced a dimensional shift. You moved from one world into another. It's only because of our poor human memory that we don't remember. By not remembering the experience of being born or of the other dimensions, we have placed enormous limitations on ourselves. For one,
I'm going to hold you for a minute. You're right. And maybe it's because it's each and every one of us has a karma to fulfill in this life experience.
Yeah.
You see, my understanding was, but this was a temporary thing for us to understand because we were locked out of the dual properties of our intellect and our emotional body. So, you know, this was been affected.
You with us, George?
George?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Thought I lost you there for a minute.
We lost you there for a second.
Well, you know, this is like an understanding that, we, you know, where, after we experience this life, you know, where do we go? Or how do we dissolve and go to a next level? And that basically is what we're doing. But we're going through a process that we came down. It's like we came down from heaven originally and incorporated into this three-dimensional reality and became man, if you'd want to call it that. But understand that, you know, we are living a spirit, just like all things that live have a spirit or have a field of energy. And they're all connected, part of the unity consciousness with God. But understand that we each have a field of energy that makes us equal to any person on this planet. We're getting out of this this life into a new life, or jumping back into a life not restricted by physical form. And if nothing else, that is what we're going through right now for this last month or two, is we're going to be coming part of co-creation. Well, we are going to create our realities, good and bad, around us. The reason why I bring up 2008 in the fifth night is that everything that I focused on as a new project, it materialized in a matter of a year or two. And, you know, it was a new jump for me, if you'd want to call it that. And, you know, I could sit back and look at, you know, what has happened in these last 3 years. And, you know, I couldn't begin to write it down, but, you know, my view is that I'm you know, I'm experiencing heaven on earth. You know, I'm not waiting for the end of my life to experience heaven. And life has shown me that. But now, you know, so much of it is going to rise up to in creating not only my own world, but the world around me. So, you know, my question is going to be, you know, when we make this shift, will I will be in contact with my old contacts? I'm making fun of myself. Don't mind me.
Oh, no,
it's just going back and remembering where I came from, and you know, it's not a worthless cause. That you know, we are more than what we think, and we are the ones that we've been waiting for. So sit back and enjoy the ride. But also, you be the operator. You be the driver on this trip. And you know, Leo, you have been a driver. And Lila, you know, with the show, I mean, people listen to it, and you know, it's like you're driving the bus, and I'm in for the ride, but I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
But let me just explain. Let me just say one thing, because there's more here that I think will explain something. John Below says, as we enter this new millennium, the ascended masters feel that there will be very little violence approaching this shift. But we have come a long way on the path.
That'd be nice.
We have done a great job in helping to birth the new human consciousness. So I am going to say it now. Relax, don't worry. Enjoy this transition. As you witness the perfection of life, you can be that little baby you may have wanted to revert back to. Know that you are going to be taken care of and that the pure love is guiding the events. This energy wave is so much bigger than you that you might as well surrender to life and just be. And we have probably altered the possibility of the 2 years to 3 months of chaos. It is not believed that the period before the shift will probably be short and with almost no disruption. They expect little or no warning except for the 5 or 6 hour shift. And more than likely, you will wake up one morning and before sunset find yourself a baby in a brand new world. 6 hours before the shift. Let's begin 6 hours before the shift. You wake up on a clear, cool morning feeling great. As you stand up, you realize that you are feeling very light and a little strange. You decide to take a bath. As you're watching the water, you sense something behind you. You turn and see a large, brightly glowing object of strange colors floating about 3 feet off the floor next to the wall. As you try to figure out what this is, a smaller one appears out of nowhere a few feet away. They begin to float around the room. You jump up and run into the bedroom, only to see the whole room filled with these strange, unimaginable things. You might think you are having a mental breakdown or chat between maybe a brain tumor is affecting your perception, but neither is the case. And he said, suddenly the floor begins to break apart and the whole house begins to distort. And you run outside into nature where everything seems normal except that there are many of these strange things everywhere. And you decide to sit down and not move. You remember your Merkaba and begin to breathe with awareness. You relax into the prana flow and move through your body. And the great spinning Merkaba has enclosed you in its warmth and safety. And you become centered and wait. Because that's about to happen is God's grace. And there's really is nowhere to go. It's the greatest ride you can imagine. It is ancient, yet it is brand new. It is beautiful, and you feel fantastic. You feel more alive than you ever did when you were in the normal Earth reality. And each breath seems to be exciting. And you look across the meadow where a red glowing fog begins to slide into the space all around you. And soon you are surrounded by this red fog, which seems to have its own source of light. It's a fog, but it doesn't actually look like any fog you have ever seen before. It seems to be everywhere now, and you are even breathing it. And odd feelings come over your body, and it isn't really bad, just unusual. And you notice that the red fog is slowly changing to orange, and you know... sooner see it is orange than it turns yellow, And the yellow quickly changes to green, and then blue, and then purple, then violet, then ultraviolet. Then a powerful flash of pure white light explodes into your consciousness. And you are not only surrounded by the white light, but it seems that you are this light. For you, there is nothing else in existence. And this last feeling seems to continue for a long time. Slowly, very slowly, the white light changes into clear light, and the place where you are sitting becomes visible again. And only it looks like everything is metallic and made of pure gold. The trees, the clouds, the animals, the houses, other people inspect your body, which may or may not appear like gold. And almost imperceptibly, the gold metallic reality becomes transparent. And slowly, everything begins to look like golden glass. You'll be able to see right through walls. You can even see people walking behind them. The void, 3 days of blackness. Finally, the gold metal reality begins to dim and fade away, and the bright gold becomes dull and keeps losing its light until your entire world is dark and black. And the blackness engulfs you, and your old world is gone forever. And you can see anything now, not even your body. You realize that you are stable, but at the same time you seem to be floating. Your familiar world is gone, and do not feel fear here. There is nothing to be afraid of. It is completely natural. You have entered the void between the third and fourth dimensions, the void that all things came from and must always pass back into. And you have entered the doorway between the worlds. There's no sound and no light. It's totally sensory deprivation in every imaginable way. There is nothing to do but wait and feel gratitude for your connection with God. And you will probably dream at this point. It is okay if you do not dream. It will seem like a long, long time is passing. In truth, it will only be about 3 days. To be concise, this period may last for 2.25 days, and the shortest ever known, to about 4 days.
Now, where is he getting this information?
He experienced it himself. And he traveled to these different dimensions.
Hmm.
George, what dimension was he on anyway? The 144th, or was he down to what was his dimension that he came from?
He was maybe up in the eighth or ninth dimension.
Eighth or ninth. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And
basically, where a lot of some of these masters hibernate
right.
to. And then they come back down. They watch everything. Yeah, well, yeah.
But this is like, but what's cool is how he explains how it happens.
Yes,
and how you
yes.
how it that transformation begins. And it happens within that period. And then you got that 3 day darkness that you're wandering in the void.
Right, yeah.
And then the next thing is you come out of it, you know.
What do you think
yeah,
about
well,
this?
When we were talking about before about our hard drives being erased,
that's right. Yeah.
We do have an energy field that holds our let's say Akashic record, if you want to call it that, of us as a spirit, and that's in our Merkava, which is an energy field, and it's by activating or not activating, but using that field around us to protect us, but also to do certain things. And, in creating that Merkaba, recreating that consciousness, let's jump back for a bit, you know, with science fiction stuff, with the Montauk Project and with the Martians. See, what they
yeah.
tried to do is they tried to make an artificial Merkaba. And, you know, they were able to be successful to a certain point. But what happened is that the consciousness that held it together wasn't there. It was false. That's what they used a computer for and the psychics that were connected with it. But see, it's making something artificial and understanding the Sedona complex on Mars. That basically is part of the time machine that the Martians used. You know, to come here from the, you know, at least 10,000 year future, you know, and also, you know, they go back a couple hundred thousand years on, you know, in just dealing with the earth. But, you know, my point is that we have a living Merkaba around us, and that could protect us and help us in saving our hard drive, if you'd want to call it that, and everything, our knowledge and so forth. And, you know, you're talking about something that, you know, is something that could happen in the next couple of months. I mean, it, you know, that the Earth is going to stop, and it's going to stop for 3 days, and it's going to start revolving again in the opposite direction. And everybody knows now that the polarity of the Earth, the north and the south, are changing. And, you know, the axis of the Earth magnetically has been altered. And the magnetism of the Earth is least, or it's less. So the Earth itself is also slowing down. You know, this is a physical reality that's happening. So all of this has a lot to do with gravity, and also in, you know, some of the abnormalities that we're experiencing, you know, the weather, but also with the earthquakes. And now, you know, in some of this Hopi prophecy about the end times, you know, comes the Red Kachina and the Blue Kachina, who the Hopi talk about will come and cleanse us and give us that 100 or 1,000 years of peace. So
I think
this is going to happen in a couple months' time.
You know, what's fascinating here is, and just to prepare people for the fourth dimensional transition, it says, on Earth, when you are born, you begin small and continue to grow until you are an adult. We usually think of human adult as the end of growth. What may sound strange until you see it is that a human adult body in the next world is a baby. Exactly as happens here, you begin to grow and get taller until you reach adulthood in this new world. And adulthood in this new fourth dimensional world is surprisingly taller than here. An adult male is about 14 to 16 feet tall. An adult female is about 10 to 12 feet. Your body will seem solid, just as on Earth, but compared to third dimensional Earth, it isn't. In fact, if you were to go back to Earth, no one could see you. You still have an atomic structure, but the atoms will have mostly converted into energy. And you have become a great deal of energy and very little matter. You can walk right through a solid wall on Earth, but here you are a solid, The new birth will be your last life and structure as you know it. And the fifth dimension, which will be coming soon after the fourth, there are no life forms. It is a formless state of consciousness, and you will have no body, but will be everywhere at once. Time is extremely different in the fourth dimension. A few minutes on Earth is several hours in fourth dimension. And so in what will seem like about 2 years, you will reach adulthood. But simply growing up is not what life is all about, just as here on Earth. There are levels of knowledge and existence that would be hard to imagine from where you will be when you first enter the fourth dimension. Just as the baby here on Earth could not comprehend astrophysics, your thoughts and survival. Here you are, a baby in a new world. Yet in this new world,
we're attaching our spirit, to a physical body, and it's just molecularly different. And a person will mature in 2 years to full height as a human being, and there, in that dimensional level, we have a few more chromosomes that we will share when we reproduce. But Queen Nefertiti and Akhenaten are an examples of
I immediately thought of that. And
yep.
I said, wow, they were 16 and, 14 feet,
Tall.
They are our parents, are part of our parents are the bloodline that we are made of was part of the Anunnaki and the Assyrians. Assyrian was another race. So let's say the sperm for our beginning came from the Assyrian race. which are fifth dimensional beings.
They're fifth dimensional.
Right, yeah.
Fifth dimensional. Yet, it says, yet in this new world, you are far from helpless. You are a powerful spirit that can control the entire reality with your thoughts.
Right,
whatever you think happens instantly. Yet at first, you normally don't recognize this connection. Most people don't put the two together for several days, and those few days are crucial. They could
you have to learn how to co-create, and that's what we're going through right now, the learning process.
Right. It says they could keep you from surviving in this new world if you don't understand. Here you are, only a few minutes old, and the first big test in life begins. When the fourth dimensional window is open, anyone can go through, but generally not everyone can stay. What we have found is that there are three types of people at this stage. First, there are the people who pass over who are ready. They have prepared themselves in this life for the life they lived. Then there are people who aren't ready, who are filled with so much fear that they cannot allow themselves to leave this third dimension, past the void, and they immediately return to Earth. And finally, there are the third group that passes over but isn't really quite ready for this experience. And the Hopis talk about this. This is what the Hopis say, that many will return who aren't prepared, you know,
right.
when the blue planet comes back, you know, when the blue...
Purifier.
Yeah, the purifier, exactly. And it says they were ready enough to transition, and they were ready enough to transition to the fourth dimension, but they weren't ready, really prepared to stay there. Jesus spoke of these people when he said at the end of a parable that many are called, but few are chosen. And there are other parables about a wheat farmer whose servants reported that many weeds were growing in his wheat field and asked what to do. And the farmer told them to let the weeds grow with the wheat, and when it was harvest time, to gather them both up and then to separate the chaff from the wheat. And the farmer would normally attempt to get rid of the weeds before they got big, but that's not what he said to do. What Jesus was referring to is these two different kinds of people, the ones who are ready and the ones who aren't. When people are not quite ready, it means they are bringing all of their fears and hatred with them. And when they find themselves in this very bizarre world, all their fears and anger arise. And because they do not know that whatever they think will take shape around them, then fears begin to manifest because they don't understand what is happening. And in the beginning, most people reproduce familiar images of their old world, things they can recognize. And they do this to make sense of what is happening. And they are not doing this consciously, but from their survival instinct. And they start creating the old images and emotional patterns. But this new world is so bizarre that all their fears come up and they say, holy cow, what's going on? This is crazy, insane. They see people who had died long ago. They might begin to see scenes from their past, even their childhood. Nothing makes sense. And the mind searches for some ways to create order. And then he says they think they're hallucinating, and this brings up more fear, thinking in their earthly way that they might feel that someone is doing this to them, so they need to protect themselves. And the ego thinks it needs a gun. Manifestation follows thought, and when they look down, there's a rifle with a scope, just the way they wanted it. And they pick up the gun and think, I need ammunition. They look to their left, and there is a huge box of it. They load up and begin looking for bad guys who they think are trying to kill them. So who instantly appears? The bad guys, fully armed. Now their worst fears start manifesting, whatever they are, so they start shooting. And everywhere they turn, other people are trying to kill them. And finally, their
biggest... Watch what you dream for, you know, it will come true.
They're fatally shot.
Okay.
That's amazing. Yeah, so they just... go on and on and on and create their own greatest fears, and eventually they get shot themselves because that's what they fear.
That's a horrible thought. That's typical of being on the samsara wheel.
It is, but
that's right, yes. Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand that through your own wisdom, through your own compassion, through your own knowledge, that's how you know what to think about, because you're creating your reality instantaneously.
Now, Leo, some people can do that, some souls, I should say.
Exactly.
But, you know, there are some that just can't do it right now, and that's why he's saying that, you know, some will return to the earth. But here again, that is part of our belief system that was put in there for, you know, for salvation, that, you know, if we don't get it this time, we'll get it in the next life. But, you know, we restrict ourselves from going on because right now we're on a quest to experience something. But we have experienced everything there is to experience, and it's time to get off the earth. And some can do it and some can't. But, you know, some will just take longer than others. But at least we have an option. And that's the options that we have right now in the precession of the equinox, which goes every 26,000 years.
That's right. I just wanted to mention that I think this is probably the most profound, is that a scenario of some sort will happen that will remove them from this and this higher world back to the world from which they came. Mm-hmm. This is what Jesus meant when he said, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Jesus also said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, which means that if you're sitting in this new world thinking simple thoughts of love, harmony, and peace, trusting in God and yourself, then that is exactly what will manifest in your world. And you will manifest a harmonious, beautiful world. If you are meek, you will allow yourself to remain in this higher world by your thoughts, feelings, and actions. You survive. And that's just the beginning, of course. So you are born into a new world and you survive. And from this point on, there are various possibilities. One that will invariably occur is that after a while you start to explore this reality, and at one point you will realize that whatever you think happens, and at this point people often look down at their bodies and say, wow, and with their thoughts perfect their bodies and physically become what they always wanted to be. And they will heal everything, grow back arms and legs. Why not? It's like a toy child, it says, to a child. And because ego often still functions a little, and you'll be able to explore the rest of your new reality. You can recreate your whole body, your whole personality, your whole existence.
There's a talk about other people being with you. Like if you're, when, you know, your family, people want to go with their family. They don't want to go by themselves.
Well, you're there, but you bring whatever you have in your mind, you attract. Is that correct, George?
Well, yes, but you have to understand that we are moving out of an area where there is no duality. There is no right or wrong, left or right, light or dark. And, you know, with that, we have no, we're not experiencing time as we understand it through normal physics. So it's experiencing energy without the dualistic properties that we attach to everything. And, you know, we can't help it because it's our nature. And the nature is from the linear mind to the emotional mind or body. And that is part of the drawback that this physical reality has for us, because we can have one and not the other at the same time. But life is a mixture of neutralizing right, left, up, south, north, and south. And, you know, we'd be getting out of that reality, that consciousness. And it's an altogether different world.
It doesn't talk about any social structures, though, or anything like that.
Well, it does. It says here that when you'll be born again in this dimension. And he says, and you will have parents.
Oh, okay.
And it says, one thing will most certainly happen. You'll suddenly notice the large moving lights. And it says, yes, you will have parents in the fourth dimension. It is, however, the last time, for in the next higher world, you will not. In the area of the fourth dimension where you arrived, the family problems have been experienced here on Earth don't exist. Your mother and father, we have experienced here on Earth, don't exist. Your mother and father there will love you in ways you probably have only dreamed of on Earth, and they will completely love and care for you, and they will not allow anything to happen to you in a bad way once you have survived, and you have absolutely nothing to worry about. It is a time of tremendous joy if you simply surrender and allow this love to guide you and you may realize that you've just won the big game of life. All the pain
is just part of that fractal consciousness that we're connected with. One of those fractal points is that family structure, and that's why we incarnate back with family or as a family grouping. And that that is shows part of that fractal structuring that connects us with a whole. And that's where parents come in. You know, there is a beginning to that, and that is part of the energy is put in motion a long time ago, family-wise. But you know, it's you know, Leo, we're talking about between now and November 3rd, a lot of some of the stuff that we've been talking about will come to be. And I think the biggest fear that we have right now is the alignment with these two comets that are coming in, or three comets, into our neck of the solar system. And one of these comets is dragging a dark star along with it. And the Hopi prophecies talks about the red Kachina and the blue Kachina. And let me just set up the scenario right here. We got three comets coming in, and they started basically on August the 15th. When I say coming in our neck of the woods in our solar system, but also lining up with the Earth and with the Sun. The first one is a comet called Honda, and that basically is coming in from the south and going north across the galactic plane of our solar system. The second one is Leni, which is pulling another that black star with it. And the third comet is Levy, which is coming from the north across the galactic plane. Now, on the 26th of September, this Lenin comet and attachment dark star will be coming the closest to the Earth, and it will be between the Earth and the Sun, and I believe also Venus and Mars or Mercury is involved with this.
Now that's the
alignment is going to be we're going to be pulled from the gravity of this dark star, and that is going to cause some major earthquakes and volcanic activity. And,
George, I have a caller, George. I was just wondering if I could put him on here for 1 second.
Sure, go ahead.
Hello, 516. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. Hi, it's Rick.
Hey. How you doing, Rick?
How are you?
Hey, good, guys. How are you? I just wanted to ask one question to start off with. At the beginning, George, you had mentioned that it was the fifth day or the fifth night of a cycle. And I thought, unless my calculations are wrong, that the last cycle started on August 18th, which I thought the fifth day was the 23rd, which was when the earthquake was in Virginia and also in Colorado. Am I off on that?
You may be off the sixth day, the fifth night. My recollection, my notes here, you know, I'm putting it the fifth night.
I thought that the last cycle started on August 18th. Is that when it started, or?
August 18th?
Yeah, I thought so, according to something that I was, that Awakening is one video that I was watching.
I know there's a 28th, and there's supposed to be a huge earthquake on the 26th of September.
But again,
the 8th of October is when this. Now, what I'm looking at is what I just read about Drunvalo here, Melchizedek, was the, what I read was this 6-hour period will happen, and once it happens, it'll happen, I guess, to everybody. And in the world at the same time, and most people will go out of their minds, okay, at this period, but it's going to be a transition that where our reality just disappears just before our eyes, or starts to dissolve before our eyes, and when we ascend to that other, we transition over into that fourth dimension. But that should be happening maybe on around the 28th. Do you think that'll happen, George, or what?
Leo, you know, anything could happen at this point. But all I know is that things are happening now, one, two, three, one after another, just like the earthquake here in the East Coast. You know, there was two earthquakes not too far from me. And, you know, it's just surprising that, you know, these are happening. And, you know, there's more things happening around the world. It just takes second nature. But, you know, this second nature stuff is scary. And nothing surprises me. And I think we are in that time, you know, that co-creating time where anything could happen, where nothing
right.
is real and everything is real. So, you know, I believe that the end of the Mayan calendar, like Kellerman talks about, is the end of October. And we have a lot of not catching up to do, but a lot of things have to mature between now and then. And, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride. It's happening so damn fast and quick. I mean, it happens one day, and the next day, you know, you've already forgot about what happened the day before. And, you know, I can't even predict what's going to happen, let's say, 2 weeks from now, you know, or making plans and so forth. I could plan this or that. But, you know, the way things are, they could change. So I don't know. I'm taking it day by day, to be truthful. How about you? You got to know this is speeding up for things.
I thought I might mention, though, that in Melchizedek's letter, it states that Pharaoh means that which you will become.
Yes,
and
he says
the first king given the name Pharaoh was Akhenaten.
Nephrititi.
And he says, and if you want to know what you will become, there they are to see. The race they came from, the Syrians, are our fathers, and we carry the genes they have given us. And at the right moment, we will change into their race. It is a race designed for a fourth dimension. And when it happens, you will say to yourself, of course, I remember. The changes taking place in your body will feel so natural that you won't even think about it. And life in this next world will seem normal and ordinary once growth begins. Now, this in itself talks to me about the Hopi. It brings into play the Hopi prophecy of the blue star, which is Nibiru, supposedly Nibiru, and it coming back, all right, and then us jumping, going toward the star, being absorbed into that star, all right?
Naturally,
right, and others will not. They'll be, and the Hopi prophecy states that they will revert to the red star or remain on Earth, but others will transform right into that blue star.
The mother is coming for her children.
And transform into that. Yeah, exactly. And come right back into that natural's fourth dimensional state, which will be 12 or 15 or 16 feet tall and fourth dimensional existence.
Let me jump back to Akhenaten and Titi. They were 14 and 16 feet tall.
Yeah.
But if not, they were the accomplishments of Isis and Osiris by producing, you know, the prodigal son. And they were the ones that brought, Akhenaten was the one that brought back the law of one, the understanding, where that is unity consciousness, and we connect to the physical, emotional world. So understand that set up the Christ birth, where it failed with King Tut, who was supposed to be the prodigal son, but that failed. But in the meanwhile, it took almost 1,000 years later. That's when Christ was born, and Christ was the prodigal son of the salvation for the law of one, where we would break away from this methodical Atlantean time thinking to the emotional body and connect back with the earth again. So they were the ones that were able to bring us back into the law of one and the unity consciousness, and that's what they taught. And this is what's being that's what's happening right now. We were all connecting back into the unity of wall of the other one.
Rick.
So you know that is just part of the the purifiers work on the star, the dark star, which is the red star of Kachina that the Hopis talk about. And what, I think what scares me here is that, you know, you get this big dark star that's being dragged by this comet, and, you know, the magnetic fields of that could actually, you know, grab a hold of us, the Earth, that is, and take us along with it as it goes through our solar system. And yet, you know, what can the sun do? Because the sun is going to be between this dark planet and the Earth. And,
you
know,
the gravity
and carry us with
it.
So
four planets align, George, that are supposed to stop the Earth and create that 3 days of darkness and make the Earth go back around. All right.
Yeah, well, the Earth will stop spinning.
Right.
And it's we will then
those who are transcending will transcend at that period, because they talk about that 3 days. All right. Now that makes a lot of sense, or it seems to pull a lot of stuff together that's happening here. What do you think?
But Leo, you know,
this
has happened pretty recent in the past. The last time the big shift was 9772 BC, where the Earth stopped and rotated in the opposite direction that we're traveling right now.
Wait.
Now,
maybe
we are at a point where the Earth will stop again, but it will revolve counterclockwise like it was before the first cataclysm. But the Earth has stopped
right
in
there,
its
Rick,
movement.
If you can get a chance, go ahead. Go ahead. Rick?
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm just
Rick,
listening
you
to you guys. Yeah, I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm just very fascinated by this. I mean, you guys, you know, George knows me a little bit, but a lot, actually. I've never spoken to you guys before, but I just want you guys to know that, you know, I, you know, became a born-again Christian in 2009, and my faith has been pretty strong. And I could, even with that, at first I was not open to any of this at all. But it makes sense. I cannot ignore what's going on in reality in our solar system. And clearly we have these, what they're calling comets, that are going around. In fact, I don't know if you guys are aware, I figured out yesterday, I don't know where I was on the net, but at the one they're calling Elenin, or the Planet X, or whatever, there's four different possible names, Brown Dwarf, that seems to be, you know, they can track everything because everything's moving at a predictable pattern.
Right.
But this other thing they're finding is possibly being controlled in some way. I find that fascinating. But overall, I know in my heart that this is all a divine thing that's happening, and that we should not be scared or fearful at all. But reading what you're reading right now, I happened to read it this morning, the dimensional shift. I think it's important, even though a lot of people may find it very difficult to accept. It's important that I think we're aware of it, so that when these things do happen, we are prepared in a sense, and we know, you know, what's happening. You know, so
absolutely. I think it's imperative that at least we understand what others have gone through in this shift, and so that we understand it when it happens.
And if others
are
talking about it, you know that it was successful, so you don't have to be afraid.
Yeah, there was something that George had sent over. I don't know if he sent this to you or not, but that Pat Robinson video, did you see that?
I did. That was a 9-minute video, yes, where he discussed the Mayan calendar.
I thought it was fascinating. Not that I agree with Pat Robinson or anything, but the fact that he actually was impressed by the Mayan calendar and the events taking place and the prophecies kind of tell you how things are merging now. Our religions, science, and prophecy all seem to be merging together right now. And
you have
to take notice of it. Regardless of your background, you have to take notice of it.
You know, Rick, if you're interested, or anybody else is interested, if you go back in our archives in the last 4 years, we've covered a lot of the Mayan materials that Kellerman, in those articles that you're familiar with, has written. And we've been basically following his work And to be truthful, it's been right on the money. So, you know, there's a lot of things in a dimensional shift from Drumbelow that I have talked about in these last 4 years. And
I think,
Leo, you know, you can...
Absolutely. We've talked about some of this stuff,
but, you know, this is hard to imagine, but understand that, you know, just us raising it is something that is valid, and it's going to manifest. Just like, you know, like that Christ again is going to manifest during this time, but I don't know how to introduce something like that to happen, along with, you know, the Jewish Messiah has got to be fulfilled, and the holy jihad that the Muslims are looking for will be fulfilled. And what scares me is that it's going to be fulfilled very, very soon. And that could be a couple days to a couple weeks to a month, or maybe 2 months, you know, if we have that much time. But, you know, it's going too damn quick. And we just are at a point where everything is coming to a head, and it's winding down.
Well, that's because every 18 years, our conscious levels are increasing 20 times. That's why I'm actually open to this now, which is shocking, and you wouldn't believe. You know, I put this on Facebook. My wife emailed it to lots of people, you know, of the Christian faith. And it's, you know, I didn't want to send it to people at first, but I don't care what people think, because it's important in my heart that people, you know, think a little outside of the box, because in the Christian religion, you know, people are sticking to scripture. And in scripture, if it doesn't say all this stuff, then it doesn't happen, and it's of the devil, and it's of Satan, and I don't agree with that. And you're right. I feel like, you know, I'm in a totally different place today than I was like a week ago, and it makes sense. And I think the divine plan, you know, every 18 days, as our conscious levels keep increasing by 20 times, people are just going to have really no choice, especially when they start seeing what's going on in the sky and feeling more and more of what's happening on the earth. God is making himself known. And that's how it kind of correlates with what it does say in the Bible.
Well, you know, I sent that Pat Robinson to you guys for, you know, not to verify, but I think it's just part of acknowledging, you know, the original point, the main point is to drain the swamp. You know, I mean, they're all saying the same thing, but differently. And I ran across Leo's an article that talked about the ghetto and the end times and the ghettos, where you know, it's not the Russians, you know, that basically it's part of the Mediterranean group of people, including the Europeans. And you know, I talked with Jeffrey Goodman, who we introduced a couple months ago on the Comets of God. And he is putting together a press release on the information that they're focusing in on, the 38th and 39th of Zechariah. Do you remember that?
Zechariah 39, no. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, well, the point was is that Zechariah talks about the comets of God and how the earth has been bombarded and will be bombarded, and some of the prophecies, like, you know, the predictions to come were written in Zechariah 38 and 39, chapter 38 and 39. So, you know, it's just following references to something happening. And, you know, I don't take sides, but I think, you know, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's got to come from a duck farm, damn it. And I think if you take a look at
what's happening is that we're creating a Christhood. We're headed toward Christhood, and which is that movement to the fourth dimension. And, you know, that unity consciousness you've been talking about for the last 4 years, we are headed there. We're already there. And I mentioned earlier, I think, like the hurricanes and the earthquakes and all of these things that are happening, the floods and so on that are happening now, are all a part of raising our consciousness to that level where we have compassion for the people who are suffering. We're seeing it. We're feeling it. I mean, people are rushing down to areas all over the world, going over the world to help other people out. It's like there is a complete connection, but not everybody, but many, many, many millions of people are connecting, and that is ascension consciousness if I've ever seen it, and
Lila?
If I ever knew what it was.
What about that,
and,
Lila?
I'm sorry. No, Lila just left for 1 second. She'll be right back.
No, from a woman's perspective, you know, things are happening like you said, Lale, you know, but right now we have energies, different energies involved and different focuses, you know, for continuance.
Well, it's like Brzezinski said, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the great globalist and the architect of the New World Order, just stated this year, okay, he was quite frightened and quite disturbed that their great plans are falling apart. He's saying right now that there's never been a time in history where so many people have been so politically awakened, and he says it's become impossible for any financial or political system to control them. And he went on to say, all right, but only on the Bilderbergers, that he say this, that it was much far easier to kill 1 million people today than it is to control 1 million people. All right? So we have to look at those threats that are coming down the pike as well. But nevertheless, they are recognizing, even these people who have controlled the mass media, the masses for eons, okay, have now are recognizing that they no longer have control. And you know, and that's quite amazing to me. So we're headed there, George. We've almost arrived. And if you look at Libya, if you look at Palestine, you look at Syria, you look at Egypt, you look at what's happening around the Muslim world, and with the riots in England, the riots in Greece, the riots throughout Europe, and the collapse of our financial system, there's no doubt. This thing is coming to an end, and it's coming to an end really soon. So,
well, Leo, I'm just trying to hold on to what I got here, and you know, just to take it day by day, you know, in the events that are going on.
But the thing that amazes me, George, is that if what Drunvalo just said in that thing, everything that we know, all right, everything that's synthetic. Everything that we know will become dissolved.
Right, it'll just dissolve in front of us. That includes bridges, folks. Think about that.
But
yes.
At the same time, everything that once we transfer over, everything that we desire will manifest itself immediately.
Right.
Everything will be for us. And that's why I guess we have parents when we go over to the next dimension, because they have to train us or teach us how to use our new powers, you know.
Well, you know, they'll teach us automatically. First, we don't need airships. All we have to do is think, be somewhere, and boom, we're there.
Right, but we have to learn how to control our power, and at the same time, how to use it, you know, to our betterment. And I think that's where we're headed. And of course, that's what all the prophecies say.
That's where you're going to be wrong, because you say betterment. But you're dealing with a world without duality or without opposites.
Well, that's just
so you know, nothing is good and one is bad. You know,
better than third dimensional reality.
You know, it's kind of hard to imagine. It really is, but it's kind of scary too. You know, in holding on or you know to what we have and just letting it go. You know, it's hard for me to imagine doing that.
Yeah,
that's a process. That's a process. That's something that I think we all need to start really thinking about, is really letting go of all of our materialistic things that we're holding on to, because it's not going to matter.
Go anyway, you know?
Yeah, but, Rich, I do like frozen pizzas every now and then. I throw them in the microwave, you know? I got to have them.
Well, when you're in the fourth dimension, you can have pizza every day, you know? You don't even have to use a microwave. You know what I mean? You just want it the way you like it,
with pepperoni and peppers and onions and whatever you want on it, and there it is. All right. So, you know, you don't need anything to cook it. You don't need anything to make it. You don't need anybody to go buy it from. You don't need any money to buy it with. You just,
see, Leo,
you know
what's scary? They have a machine now that can duplicate something and make it. They can make a wrench out of a picture, a 3D picture, and they can actually produce it. Whatever
well,
it is, like the rest of
so can we, you know?
You mean that
blocking our own powers, you know, our own blocking the fourth dimensional reality, and you know,
we
I mean that's far beneath us, I think, and you know, to have to do that. I mean, what we have supposedly we have the power to create that within our own minds and to create anything we want. We don't need a wrench. I mean, we don't need wrenches. We just, you know, whatever we want, we'll have made. Completely, perfectly made the way we want it to be.
I'm a little old-fashioned because I like a dry martini in a glass with an olive, you know, and I like to
well,
put that in front of me instead of me mashing it.
Just think of it. You don't have to go down and get the vodka. You don't have to go get an olive, and you don't have to get a glass. I mean, you can just create it right out of your imagination. Bingo, it's there. And that's the beauty of that whole concept. If you can rise above that third-dimensional clink, clank, clank. You know, you got to create everything by piece by piece. All right, then you'll cross over perfectly, and that crossover will be, you know, your fourth dimensional existence. And then later, it says, which is interesting, that then in a short time you cross over again to the fifth dimension. All right,
yeah.
Within a short period of time, you go to the fifth dimension, and at that point. And beyond, you don't need your body. You know, you become.
Well, that's the point where you leave the physical duality behind.
The complete physical duality, exactly, and you become a total.
Yeah, I mean, you'll drag it with you in the fourth dimension by your thought form. You know, where you're going to be dealing with both. But once you progress higher, you know, you won't have that duality where you're not thinking in a dual point. You're thinking at one point.
And you become a perfect spirit, you know. And that's,
there you go. Well, you are a perfect spirit. You're not. You let go of those restrictions, and you know you're free. Just like we right now, we're coming to a time where we have served our contract that we made with the universe to experience physical world. So our contract is being fulfilled. So the point is that people have got to get the idea it's time to get up and go. And that's what people are doing right now. And they're given the opportunity with the energies that are offered, you know, with Almighty God to do that. So, you know, it's our time. And if you want to take a look at the procession of the equinox, you know, this is something that you could see there is a cycle. And this is not hearsay. This goes on and on. This has happened before, and I think Drumbelow brings to that point that, you know, this is the normal scheme of how these things go together. And he said, now, you know, it's just an example. That doesn't mean that we're going to experience this, you know, per word, other than, you know, this basically follows a theme, and we will, you know, experience something of the light. And, you know, I think, I don't know, I think it's right on. And I would recommend anybody interested, to look into it and read it.
Well, do you remember when Zell Rungel said in his lecture, he said that at this time, he said the same thing that Drumbelow just said, that at this time, people would go crazy. They'd start to go crazy, all right? And they would just, you know, start falling apart and going nuts because they will not understand that what's happening to them or what's happening to the world is their world starts completely dissolving in front of them. And he said the only way to stay sane or to understand this is to stay in the zone. Remember he said that? Stay zoned, to stay in your zone. And he says that will carry you through. It just amazes me that you're seeing
it
now.
Leo, what you're saying is right to stay in the zone.
Crazy,
but I think
man.
Right now,
people are going mad. You know, it's just insanity out there. you know,
well,
everywhere.
It is. I mean, the insanity is that, you know, I know a couple people who their checking account has been compromised. And it's because people are stealing your numbers, you know, when you buy something and so forth.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know, these are professional people that come in and get all these numbers. And,
yep.
You know, they'll get the numbers and they'll make, you know, $1,000 worth of purchases, you know, in a couple of states away from, let's say, the state of New York. And, you know, it's just being caught into that where somebody is taking all your money out and your car payment is bounced, your mortgage payment is bounced, and
exactly.
You just have barely enough to buy the groceries for the week. And the bank is blaming you for letting somebody use your card. You know, that was a form of defense that they'll hit you with. But, you know, it's kind of hard, Leo, to go through this and have a joyful understanding that, you know, we'll work it out. I mean, the banks are responsible, damn it. But in the meanwhile, you may be left a couple days or a couple weeks without your money, you know.
Well, this
and it's just bullshit.
To you, this
is part of the times.
You, right? Did this happen to you, George?
No.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I know two people, close family members, who that's happened to. And
all right.
The
wow.
Secret Service now has been involved with some of these schemes that has been going on. I mean, I remember a couple months ago that on 60 Minutes they talked about it or something like this. But, you know, it's just part of the banking system, and not only the class, but the secrecy, the privacy is all gone because you're a magnetic strip, you're a magnetic number. And,
right.
You know, it has nothing to do with papers or cards. I mean, it's all a magnetic strip.
But that's all part of it. That's how we have to dissolve. I mean, there's nothing there to begin with. Money is nothing more than a digit on a computer, all right? Now, so it's like that can easily be gone and everything, and just like our entire monetary system is gone. I have an excellent guy coming on the show on Tuesday. His name is Mike Stathis, and he's a financial brilliant guy. And he wrote a book called America's Financial Apocalypse. Okay, and he talks about, and he's been right on. He consults hedge funds and everything else, and he's been right on the money, on these predictions for years and years and years. But he's going to talk about this next week. And about the collapse of the system, if you will, and what takes place, and why the collapse is happening, and how you can recognize it. But
right.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention
you
that.
You were right. You know, it's the sixth day, not the sixth night. It's the fifth night that we're in right now. So we haven't jumped yet, but. All this stuff has got to come out of the
is
open.
Is it February 11th that we enter the universal period?
Excuse me?
I said it's February 11th that we enter the universal period, right?
No, I think...
We enter the universal period on February 11th of this year, of next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes to December, whatever, 25th or 21st. And that's the end of the cycle. That's the end of the whole shebang.
Right.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well,
I just wanted to get those dates clear. So,
I'm kind of confused here, but go ahead.
According to what I've been reading, the February 11th of next year is when the seventh day kicks in, first day of the universal period begins.
Are we in the universal period right now?
No, we're in the galactic period. It'll be ending October 20th, but it'll be ending on that February 11th, okay, according to Kalaman, I guess. All right. However, we will, before we get there, on October 28th, is when this period of enlightenment is supposed to happen, okay? This period of transformation is supposed to happen, all right? And then once it does, it doesn't affect the calendar. It affects humanity. But as far as February 11th to December 21st, all right, or I believe 21st of 2012 is the final days, because every 18 days at that point equals 1 year, you know. So it's so that last period, that last universal period, is from February 11th to December 21st, I believe, of 2012.
Leo, I'd rather keep it right now into the next couple of weeks, because we got a lot coming our way.
Oh,
it's
gonna
be
amazing.
We're going to be going into September.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm just looking, just amazed at what could possibly happen here in the next 60 days. The last 60 days. The next 60 days.
That's to keep me going right now, you know, from week to week.
Yeah. That's remarkable, I tell you. But anyway, guys, I want to thank you. Rick, I want to thank you for calling in. We appreciate you calling in there. And George.
Hey,
thanks, Rick.
What? Yeah, thank
you. Yeah, no,
Rick.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yeah. And, George, I want to thank you always. And batten down your hatches there. I guess we're in for a hell of a storm here in the East Coast. So, you know, coming up tomorrow and Sunday. So,
you know, I was telling somebody, you know, we are in the 12th hour. It's not that the 12th hour is coming. We're in it right now. So batten down the hatches, because we're in for a ride.
You bet. You bet.
Leo, God be with you. God be with you too, Rick. I'll be speaking with you a couple weeks from now.
Okay.
Right. Let's try to survive this hurricane, guys, and we'll talk next week. Good night, everybody. Good night, George.
Good night.
Good night. And I want to thank everybody who's joined me tonight, and wish you the very best. And join us next Tuesday. Next Tuesday night, we will have Mike Stathis with us, who will be discussing his book and a number of books that he's written, titled "The America's Financial Apocalypse," which is will be quite fascinating. So good night, everyone, and we wish you the very, very best.